Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special night of Voices for Justice, November 20th, 2010. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and tonight we bring you an additional show this week due to some compelling allegations brought to us a week ago by some very persistent students. The allegations about a man many around the world have come to know, and a man many here in the Northwest began to call a friend. Ironically, though, the same man who convinced millions of people throughout the world the motion picture Taken was about his daughter, Sale, has now appeared to have taken us all for a ride. The chat room is open. You can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes and click chat. Our guests will also be taking your call shortly. The call-in number is area code 347-838-8622. And yes, this show tonight will be on human trafficking. The hotline number, if you or someone you know is being human trafficked, please call 888-3737-888. About a week ago, our Seroptimus region and the Northwest Conference Against Trafficking Committee received what we thought at first seemed like a complaint from a student that may have gotten a bad grade. But after looking further into his claims, more things came together. I'd like to read you a little bit of the letter that we received. I have been part of an ongoing investigation that is pursuing criminal charges against a fraud named William G. Hiller. He was until just a few days ago a professor at our university. He has lied about being a retired Army colonel and a special forces operative, and has also lied about his teenage daughter being kidnapped and sold into human trafficking. He taught courses here based upon his false background and has been a speaker for many law enforcement agencies, nonprofit organizations, and departments, including the FBI. We first became suspicious when we heard Hiller telling stories that came straight from military books, namely The Mission, The Men, and Me by Colonel Pete Blaber. He took stories from these books and passed them off as his own. He was caught doing this on other occasions from different books as well. Furthermore, a Freedom of Information Act inquiry came back negative on his story that he was a retired Army colonel and special forces operative. When confronted by our school with these allegations, Mr. Hiller tried to deny that he ever made those claims. Additionally, the story he tells of his daughter being kidnapped into human trafficking is completely false. He has told different versions of this story, and family members have even contacted us in order to testify to that fact. In regards to this student, who you'll soon meet, his name is Brian Hubbs. He'll be on in a few minutes. He was referencing a document by the Department of the Army, which we have been able to obtain. Headquartered out of the United States Army Special Operations Command in North Carolina, I spoke personally with Mary in that office. Dated October 27th, 2010, this is in final response to your Freedom of Act request, other known as FOIA. U.S. Army Special Operations Command Unit, they've issued a case number 11-005. This command conducted a thorough search for documents responding to your request. No records responsive to your request were located. Therefore, we must give you a no record response. And again, that was signed by Colonel of the United States Army, Campbell Cantu. Also, Brian referenced the Freedom of Information Act. We have also been able to obtain that information. And this shows that William Gibb, G-I-B-B, Hiller, had never served in the Army. On the contrary, he served in the United States Coast Guard Reserve. His dates of service were October 11th, 1962, through October 10th, 1970. He was discharged, and from what I understand, was a radar man. In response to looking over all of the blogs and all of the complaints that were sent to not only myself, but to our friends at Just Gel Fire, the teenage girl, Dallas Jessup, who founded Just Gel Fire. She too was a speaker in January, and since then, we have both learned that Hiller claimed to be the founder of that organization. The executive director and the board of Just Gel Fire has taken action in regards to that, and the college has removed that off of their website. In response from Seroptimus International, the Northwestern region, and the Northwest Coalition Against Trafficking, we want to, especially since our conference is coming up in January, January 14th through the 16th of this coming year, we sent out a notice to our board of directors and our committee and our vendors and our speakers this year. Written by myself and our governor, I will read a portion of that. Recent allegations have raised concerns against one of our keynote speakers last year, William G. Hiller. Seroptimus was introduced to him as Colonel Bill Hiller, a retired colonel of the United States Armed Services and father of a daughter trafficked and killed. We were to believe that her story was told in the motion picture Taken with Liam Neeson. The recent allegations from students of one of the colleges that brought this to our attention, we believed we needed to look further into it. This case is being investigated by the colleges, Homeland Security, and local law enforcement, from what we understand. And to quote, the allegations against Hiller are concerning. If true, we believe bringing them to the public's attention is a must, especially for all those he defrauded coast to coast. If the allegations are true, he not only defrauded students coast to coast, he also defrauded nonprofit organizations that are doing their part each and every day to help eradicate this issue. So we believe that these claims need to have action. But most importantly, the victims of trafficking that that entrusted him with their stories, that is criminal in itself. So I'd like to introduce to you the student, and there were many students. One of the students that brought this to our attention, and read just a little bit about who he is. His name is Brian Hubbs. He's a second-year student at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. He's majoring in terrorism and nuclear. I will really butcher that, Brian, so I'll let you say that. Institute, and hopes to work in the security field upon graduation. Before attending Monterey Institute, He was also a student at San Jose State. He served in the United States Marine Corps from 2001 to 2006. While in the Marines, he fixed weapon systems on aircraft and spent a majority of his enlisted time stationed in Japan, attached to unit MWSS-171. We welcome Brian, and we also welcome another student who is also on the call this afternoon. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, welcome. Good evening.
I just want you to know that we did reach out to Bill Hiller with all of the contact information we had on him. We also reached out to an organization locally that introduced us to him, that he sits on their board of directors. But we have not heard back from any of them, which I didn't expect to, but we gave them the opportunity for him to be able to speak on all of this. But with the interview yesterday, Brian, that you did with Fox News and CBS, I believe they were unable to successfully speak with Hiller as well. So let me ask you, why and how did you initially discover Bill Hiller was telling some lies?
It came to my attention when I took his human trafficking course. He told this story that was taken directly out of a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul for the college student. And at the moment when he told the story, it sounded like it was familiar, but, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to talk about it, you know, later, you know, after the fact, because it's just one of those things that kind of stands out as like, you know, I've really heard this story before, where have I heard it? And so after the course was over, we looked, you know, to try to find where that story came from. And when we found out it came from the book, it really made us question, okay, what were some other things that may have been fabricated as well? And as we kind of broke down the course and comparing and contrasting with another course that he teaches, the tactical counterterrorism course, that's when we really started to notice a lot of inconsistencies, and that's what led us to begin the investigation.
Does your friend have, and I know he wants to be nameless, so I'll call you Jay. How's that? Jay, do you have anything to say on that?
For me, it really began about 7 months ago when I took his tactical counterterrorism course. I spent a year in Iraq as a team leader in the infantry. So when this class was presented and he introduced himself in the class as a Special Forces Colonel in Delta Force, and he's teaching tactical counterterrorism, from my experiences, my short experiences in special operations, a lot of that is classified. So I was really intrigued to exactly what he could reveal. And sitting in that class, he didn't reveal anything of substance at all, really at the tactical level. Even things that a lot of us in the infantry know, that's open source, anyone can find out, it's not classified. He didn't even go come down to that level at all. So it wasn't as, he didn't really present himself as knowledgeable in that situation. It just made things uneasy in the class for me, and how he kind of spoke about the military and things like that. So it wasn't really someone who's legitimately a veteran to me, and that's where it kind of all started for me.
Well, after beginning the investigation, Brian, what kind of evidence did you start to uncover and confirm your suspicions, and did you take that to the school?
After we kind of, you know, I collaborated with a few other people who noticed some of these inconsistencies, you know, we actually just started off, you know, doing some Google searches, and we came across, you know, a bunch of evidence. Some of the stuff that we found were plagiarized stories straight from military books. As you mentioned in your opening, The Mission to Men in Need by Colonel Pete Blaber, that was one of the books. There was another book called Inside Delta, where he describes, there's a scene in the book, and it talks about how you clear houses, and the one of the characters mentions how, you know, during these tests, you know, you could kill somebody if you don't do everything exactly right, and it's scary. So, but he tells that story and he presents it as his own, like he had this experience himself. And so anyway, we started seeing that a lot of these things start coming from books. And then through our internet search, we came across a site called professionalsoldiers.com. And they had on there a Freedom of Information Act request that you also mentioned in the opening that showed that he had never served in the Army and that, you know, he'd never been in Special Forces. So this evidence was all gathered up, and we approached the administration with it. And once they became, you know, convinced that we had something here, they approached Bill Hiller directly because he was on campus one day, and they asked him, you know, have you ever, you know, been in the Army, or have you ever been in Special Forces? And when he was confronted by the school, you know, he said that, well, I never claimed to be, you know, the Special Forces. I just said I was an advisor to the Special Forces. And so that prompted me to go and collect signatures and petitions from students, you know, to testify to the effect that that he had actually made these claims in class, along with some of these other claims that we've been discussing here already.
Well, I can honestly say that at first when you sent us this letter, I just, you know, I was starting to brush it off as a blog thing, or like I said in my opening, that it was allegations against a teacher because they failed you. But then when we started listening and seeing some of the things that you had pointed out to us, I can honestly say on this end, some things don't make sense. And for those that are interested, we are working on getting the video from his presentation, his keynote address from our conference last year, up on the website, but it's a little too large, so we're in the midst of editing it. But I noticed that he claimed some awful things, like and I won't go into graphic detail, but things about how his daughter died, and mentioned the South China Sea. But then listening to the sound recording, the sound bite of what you provided us from a presentation in a class, he indicated his daughter died in Mexico. So are there other locations in which this daughter supposedly died?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, those are the only two stories I've really ever heard. You know, one of the main stories that he tells, and you can find this all over the internet, is that his daughter was found dead in Borneo, and yeah, her body was, or the pieces of her body were thrown into the South China Sea. And then there's the story that I heard in my human trafficking class, which was that she was murdered in Mexico City. So those are really the two stories that come out regarding his daughter.
From
go ahead, Jay.
From my class in tactical counterterrorism, it was to my understanding that, well, from what he said, that he never found his daughter, or he never saw her again. So when Brian had mentioned that that he found her in a warehouse, that was actually new information to me, and I kind of just added to the situation.
Yeah, I believe he said during his keynote address he never saw her again, but then claimed, and I'll have to review it again, but somewhere along the line of chili peppers going into her vagina, in her anus, and all of this kind of stuff, and that's how they abused her. He had everybody in our audience in tears, including myself. It was a shocker. But like what we've been learning from a couple nonprofits as well as some individuals, they asked it, and the reporter yesterday had asked if we did a background check. And he came, like I indicated to her, with high remarks, high regards. An executive director of a local organization referred him. She even claimed that she had dated him at one point. So there was no reason for us to do a background check on his credentials. But obviously maybe we should have. And seeing the documents today that the college released, I see that the college is rethinking who they hire also and consider the background checks of credentials when they hire a contractor or an adjunct professor, let alone a full-time professor. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about that release today? I found that it only makes me think that the story is completely sincere at this point.
I believe that there's, you know, there are some pluses and minuses in my opinion that came out with the release put out by the school today. As far as the pluses are concerned, I mean, they do acknowledge that, you know, that they did make a mistake, and they're providing some recourse for the students, you know, offering them either to be able to take a one credit course for free, or to you know, just keep their credit. And but the problem that I have with the statement that came out, though, was it still seems to me that they are, you know, they're trying to mitigate, you know, his role at the school. You know, they said that he was an adjunct professor. They've been saying it for the last 5 years that he's been there. We have archived web pages of, you know, the school, you know, putting his profile up there. They used him as a commodity for the school. You know, he was generating a lot of money. His classes were jam-packed all the time. I mean, he had people going. You know, they loved his stories, and that's how I heard about him. They said, you have to take a course in this guy. He has the most amazing stories. He's in the Special Forces. You know, he does all this good stuff. And so that's what made me want to take a course with him. So it was all built – it was all based on his reputation and everything. But as far as the school goes, you know, that was his status. And it's only until just the last couple of days that they've come out and said, well – all that stuff that we put out there, we shouldn't have done it because he really wasn't an adjunct. He was a contractor. So I just find that a little bit suspicious that they're changing the language of it, and they're putting out there too that he only taught a couple of, you know, one credit courses, you know, for a couple of days, you know, just downplaying him when they've been building him up to be this big, you know, kind of superstar, you know, for a long time. And then the other thing too that, you know, kind of that I thought was disingenuous was that they release it on a Saturday when there's nobody around through an email, and I really hope that they make a public statement, you know, in front of the student body, and hopefully with media there, you know, to capture this, you know, like on a Monday when there are actually people around. So
I would have thought that they would have pulled a press conference together for this particular purpose as well. But unfortunately, though, in times like these, anything sent out through internet or email, obviously you can't control who gets it. And, you know, like I told you when you reached out to me, I'm very well connected with media. And so I don't know if you knew that ahead of time, but you asked to get some media attention, and obviously it's working. But I can tell you that individuals that anchor, that are investigator reporters, that are local reporters, they have all received the documents today and have opened them. And so I don't know what will come of it, but I hope and pray, if these allegations are true, that justice prevails. Because since 9/11, you know, I look at this as we have the ability to, you know, start, you know, doing body scans and all of this to get on an airplane and all of that, and yet this one individual can pretend he's this high-ranking official in the United States Army, and everybody, I even had a law enforcement agent this morning tell me, are you serious? He trained us. You know, he trained our cops in Clark County, Washington. He trained our police in Portland. And it's like, and yet now this is coming to light. Look at all the money he took from nonprofits. So many people paid him to speak. We did not pay him to speak. We did cover all of his travel expenses, though. So, I mean, everybody is out money, students, nonprofits, donors, et cetera. But in the end, the one group of people that is bothering me on this story is all of the victims that sat with him and entrusted him to tell their stories. And I can't help but think that one of those stories about chili peppers and such like that were not taken from books, but were taken from actual human traffic survivors and victims. And to me, that's disgusting. That is just disgusting. But to talk, we have a question in the chat room. I don't understand. Are you saying that this man lied about being the father of a murdered victim? Are you saying that he's exaggerating or distorting what happened to his daughter? Any either one of you want to answer the chat room on that?
I think at this point it's becoming quite clear that is the case. I mean, in speaking to other veterans and myself being a veteran, for those of us who deployed and, you know, didn't see the best of things overseas. Talking about things that are incredibly inhumane and graphic, it's a very difficult thing to do. I still won't do it. I know there's a lot of others who've been through a whole lot worse. They won't even come close to touching the subject. So for him to be so open about the details and the graphics, that was another thing that was quite unsettling for me, and just. It just doesn't match with the psychology of someone who's been through a disturbing event. You know, it's something you want to put away, put in your pocket, and not deal with it ever again. I mean, it's not something you just open up in random conversation at a coffee shop, which he seemed to be doing a lot of. And including on that note, with the class that I was in, he took us all out to a bar that night, and he continued on with these stories, and it was just an inappropriate setting for such heavy, powerful stuff, you know. And so
I've been out of college a long time, but isn't it unethical or inappropriate for a professor to take out students to drink after class?
Or
has time changed?
I'm sure that's the case. I don't know. I can't speak to the specific policies, but. I'm sure that is the case, but he did do that, and he continued on with these stories, and it was just it was insane to me, because even if I had a speaking to a psychiatrist, I'd be reluctant to kind of talk about this kind of stuff, because it's just so heavy. And I mean, there he is.
But see, that's not a surprise to some of us, though, because a lot of the stuff that Brian shared and was telling me, we either heard him say or we know he's done. We have agencies, we have individuals out here that have worked with him that after the course of this past week discussing this entire situation, they even said, you know, he has that ability to take you out for coffee or drinks. He's a big person to go out after a presentation and talk to an individual over drinks. And then when Brian brought that up, it was like, wow, because for those of you listening tonight, Brian, you're in California, right?
Yes.
And then Jay is in California. And then we have Jeff, which I wished he would have been on the show tonight. But he's a great guy. We spoke with him in depth yesterday, and he is an individual that is retired from armed forces and is with the Green Berets. And I find a lot of what he has to say very, very interesting. And it's a shame that individuals like Hiller, if these claims are true, that he has been able to do this. So drinking and taking students out, I would think, is not protocol these days, but maybe it is. But I know that he likes to take people out and drink afterwards and talk and tell his stories, which ultimately we're seeing maybe other people's stories. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I mean, at the same time, too, when he was telling, I mean, these stories, you know, he'd buy you a couple drinks, and he got some students to share some real personal things that they probably wouldn't share if they'd known what was going on. And so here he is getting people to give a part of themselves that's really deep and personal, and he's manipulating it. And it's, I mean, it's just a horrible thing to come to realize.
Yeah, I would like to weigh in on the daughter question too. The question that was raised about, you know, what, you know, is he lying or distorting about his daughter? And look. The thing is, when you hear these stories, he has conflicting stories. I mean, we've already gone over that. But there's another part of the story that that we haven't talked about, and it's the fact that he says that he cannot show a picture or talk about his daughter because she was never buried with her placenta, which he claims has to be fulfilled as a religious rite because she's of the Hmong religion. I guess that's from Laos or Cambodia. And because she was killed and was never buried with her placenta, he cannot talk about her or he can never show a picture. And to me, I mean, it just reinforces all of, you know, the holes in his story. I mean, now you can't even see a picture of her. He never mentions her name. You can never find it on the internet. I mean, the whole thing is a sham. You know, the whole story about his daughter, you know, it's a complete lie. So,
and to piggyback on that, we have checked with the Writers Guild. We have reached out to the agent of the writer of the movie Taken and asked them to reach us. But we do know that that movie was fictional, and they've said that over and over again. And nowhere in the movie, in the intro or the conclusion of the movie, will you see anything that says thank you to the Hiller family, Bill Hiller, et cetera. So are the claims falsified? We'll soon find out, hopefully, by the writer himself. But in the end, any interview we've seen, whether it was Hollywood Reporter to Variety to Los Angeles Times, any reporter doing an interview with the folks, the producer, director, and writer of Taken, have all said they don't know who Hiller is. So now it's a matter of who's ever doing this investigation. I would advise getting an affidavit from the actual screenwriter of that movie just to set that record straight. Any input on the movie, guys?
Well, I mean, other than the fact, I mean, that, you know, there was that Writers Guild, you know, article that was put out that basically just reinforces that idea. I mean, the writer said that they got the idea from a cop in Paris. And, you know, I mean, it looks like Hiller, you know, based his life off the movie instead of the other way around, you know. And who knows? I mean, he could have gotten some of these graphic details from, you know, from listening to people. We've heard of students telling their personal stories, you know, to him after, you know, he's gained their trust, you know, by telling the story of his daughter and by him breaking down in the class, you know, and he's tearing up and all this kind of stuff.
We did do some research. Also, when I say we, it's my marketing company. So let me make that clear. It has nothing to do with Seroptimus. This is Voices for Justice. This is a show that I started. But we did look into some of the theories, or if you will, questions that some of us had when we started talking about this in the last 7 days since we received your letter, Brian. And thoughts were like, okay, if none of this was true or even partial of it wasn't true, why take down your website? If all of this is a lie, and he's undercover. Well, I'm one to say we're not going to impede any investigation where prosecution is needed. And this is the same goes for this story. However, if he was undercover, then the department that we spoke with North Carolina, they would have never issued a letter indicating they could not find record to put doubt in people's mind. They would have said, I'm sorry, we cannot respond, or what have you. But they would have never denied or declined the fact that there was no documentation for him, knowing that it would result in speculation if he were undercover. So we had somebody in law enforcement that has many years under his belt tell us that yesterday. So I feel comfortable saying that, you know, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. But if he is being watched and if he is being investigated at this point, as we've been told, my biggest issue here is why allow him to still be awarded and rewarded for speaking out on trafficking or whatever else he does to get money from people and awards. As of last Monday, he was in North Carolina at Elon University receiving at the 17th annual Hometown Heroes Award. We reached out to one of those individuals this afternoon to have them come on the air, and they too did not decline, but we have not heard back from them. But just last Monday, an yearly annual award gala, he was given award as Hometown Hero. Why allow that? Why allow any other person to be another victim of his?
Well,
your thoughts on that?
I've contacted the school, and I spoke to the editor of the newspaper, and she was actually, you know, she wasn't very receptive to, you know, to the whole idea. I think she was pretty skeptical, you know, that somebody was kind of calling out of the blue and kind of warning about all this stuff. But instead of actually asking me, okay, well, where's your documentation or whatever, she just kind of blew me off, and that was pretty much the end of it. I know that several of the people from the Professional Soldiers website have sent them emails. There's actually a comment on the story, if you just look it up online, from one of the Green Berets that has been looking into this case. And he's told them, you know, that this guy, you know, we have all this proof, come to our website, look at it. You guys shouldn't be giving this guy an award. You're just, you're legitimizing him by doing that. And for some reason, they don't seem to be interested in redacting that information or doing anything to correct it. And I don't know. I find it very bizarre.
I think a lot of this, too, has to do with his charisma in general and how much weight that has carried, that has been able to get him to the point that he got to until now. With the credentials that he was claiming to have and his charisma mixed in there, I mean, it's just impossible for people to comprehend that this is not true. I mean, it's, you know, when you have a relative that's near and dear and commits, you know, a crime or something else that's just impossible for you to believe, there is a huge sense of denial because you just don't want to accept it. But I think it's coming out over time that people are gradually, slowly starting to understand what exactly is going on, and they're slowly starting to accept that.
Well, and I'm sure that many of us are embarrassed to an extent. You know, it is quite embarrassing to present a speaker and then a year later find out that speaker is not who he says he is, especially with the kind of things that he has under his belt, or maybe didn't have under his belt. But we have a couple questions going on in the chat room, too. I'm going to ask in a minute. But I wanted to also read a couple of the statements made by Monterey Institute of International Studies. Today, this document is dated November 20th, 2010. It came from the president's office, and it's a statement of findings regarding Bill Hiller. Number one reads, after a process of intensive research and consultation, the Monterey Institute of International Studies has concluded that Bill Hiller contracted to lead one workshop session per semester for the past several years, misrepresented his academic credentials to this institute. Number two, which I find very compelling, on the resume he has submitted to Monterey Institute, Mr. Hiller claimed to have earned a PhD from the University of Oregon. The University of Oregon has confirmed with Monterey Institute of International Studies that he did not, in fact, earn this degree. That says a lot. I mean, you know, colleges, you know, when a college comes out and says that, I think in so many words, that could be an embarrassment for them, but also an apology. They've also indicated Mr. Hiller claimed to be a retired colonel of the United States Army Special Forces. The institute has been unable to obtain any military records that substantiates this claim. And I understand what you're saying, Brian. I'm reading this document, and I see what you mean, that they sugarcoat a lot of the things. The first step that they have decided to take, the institute will never contract his services again. So that's good to know, definitely good to know. They do claim that they were contacted by law enforcement regarding this matter, and they are immediately cooperating with law enforcement. They are offering some restitution to students in the means of credits, like Brian had indicated. But this was dated November 20th, 2010, was released today. And I seriously hope that this will be followed by a statement of findings and, you know, steps taken also by the University of Oregon as soon as possible. So going to some questions going on here in the chat room, what are his motives, you think? Why do this? And how long has he been doing this?
Well, that's actually a really good question. And my personal feeling is, because I have some records of my own, are that he is probably been doing this because he actually has a history of a lot of debt with the IRS, and he's had tax liens against his property. And I'm just assuming from that knowledge that this could have been a motive for him to maybe get out of this debt. Maybe it started off as that, and then he started making a living off of it, and it just grew from there. But right now, that's the only thing that I have to go on.
Well, let me ask you this, Brian. The document that indicates his full name is William Gibbs Hiller. And I'm just grasping at straws because someone else in media had sent me a document showing me a list of how many William Hillers are deceased. Do we know for certain that the William Hiller all of us have been dealing with is in fact the same William Hiller that went through the Coast Guard and was dismissed in 1970?
Well, the record that we have, I mean, they all match up. They all say that his current age is 66 years old. The names are the same. there's not really much of a discrepancy there. The addresses that are listed, the phone numbers, they all pretty much match up. So I don't really know that there really is any discrepancy or doubt as far as that's concerned.
So let me ask you then this question. Why, if we don't know his motives, and you say it could be IRS debt, but let's face it, why would you then put titles on yourself that don't exist? Wouldn't that bring a red flag for pretending you're somebody in the government when really you're not, and you're dealing with the government for back liens?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, that's just a, you know, that's my own personal belief. But, I mean, think about it. He's been getting away with this, you know, for so long. It's amazing that he's been able to get away with it. He taught at our institute for 5 years, and he's been going around the country to law enforcement, you know, to the FBI. And if they're not going to look at his background and they're not going to say anything about him, then, you know, how can we expect that anybody else is going to do that? You know, if our own law enforcement and our own government agencies can't stop this guy or never bother to look, then, you know, it doesn't surprise me then that this could go on, you know, that he could make these claims, you know, because he's already done it.
So he taught at your school for 5 years?
For 5 years,
that's pre-taken. So do you think because he was teaching and under this notion who he was and all of this, that when he got wind, maybe that writer did speak to a cop, which he may have said he was a cop, and got wind of what they were planning to do with a movie, that he took that under his wing?
Well, it's definitely possible. I mean, you know, it's just as certain things come out, you know, I mean, he just seems to kind of incorporate it into a story. You know, he finds a way to slip it in or whatever, and I just wouldn't doubt that. I mean, it's really hard to say, you know, for sure. You know, I don't know what's in his mind, you know, but it would definitely make sense.
Somebody's calling him an emotional molester. How did it happen that his daughter converted to the beliefs held by Hmong? Sounds pretty far-fetched. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, from the story he tells, she didn't convert, but that was just part of her religion, because supposedly his first wife, was either Laotian or Cambodian. I can't remember off my head right now. And that's a whole other big story, because he talks about how she was shot and killed in a shootout that was involved in a mission that he was in, and then that his son, in the same story, he had to euthanize his son by overdosing him on morphine. And then so this is the daughter that was left over, because he had a son and a daughter by this woman. And so she is half Cambodian or Laotian, so that was supposedly her religion, you know, by birth or whatever. So, I don't think it wasn't a story of conversion. It was just that's just what she was.
So he says that was his first wife. Are we to believe that his second wife is the Becky Curtis that is seen in a 2003 class reunion photo with him on the internet?
Well, as far as being his wife or not, I mean, I don't know that for a fact. The public records that I've searched don't indicate that he's ever been divorced. So I'm assuming that she's probably maybe a former girlfriend of his. That's what I would say right now, but it's really hard to tell.
Interesting. Reading the questions. If anyone has a question for these wonderful students that have been able to bring this to the public's attention, please call 347-838-8622. The phone lines are open. We also have the chat room going. And for those that may know someone that has been trafficked or you are being trafficked, please call the Human Trafficking Resource Center. The hotline number is 888-373-7888. And we encourage everyone listening and everyone that will download this podcast to please send this around so no other organizations and or survivors and victims of trafficking are conned at this point until Bill Hiller can definitely prove his innocence, or somebody can definitely tell the public if the allegations are true or not. We do too much work each and every day to have a voice in human trafficking awareness. And if this is true, this is just very sad, because it's folks like him that ruin a good thing when you've got a community banding together to make a difference. So tell me, Brian, how has all of this hoopla, as my grandmother would say, of Bill Hiller, all the courses and everything, how has it affected the students, or has it?
Well, I mean, just some of the responses that I've been getting from students as I've gone around and I've collected petitions, and I've, gotten in touch with some people to get their stories. They're pretty angry, you know. I mean, they sat in this in his courses. They paid a lot of money, and they were just lied to. They were told all these stories. They thought they were getting good information, and they were also, emotionally invested in his, in his character, or whatever you want to call it. He just, took people for a ride, and they were really upset. There were a lot of people who told me that they cried, and that they actually, called their parents, after the workshop was over, and they told them, man, this guy's story was amazing, and I can't believe that this happened to his daughter. And when you find out, after going through all that, and you find out that you've been lied to and this guy's a fraud, your natural reaction is to be angry, and that's how they feel.
Do you believe that his daughter or his family, maybe it's what's it called in the service after you've gone through a war? I know my dad is looking down at me saying, oh, God, you're so embarrassing to me. But he was in the Air Force, and so was my grandfather, and they're probably laughing at me right now. But what is it called after a soldier comes home from the war? Post-traumatic
stress? Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Do you think that this is what he is going through based on something that may have happened while he was in the Coast Guard, and his first wife and son and daughter were a part of something horrendous?
The story of his wife, being shot and killed while he was on this mission would only have happened if he were in the Special Forces. So, I mean, we know that he wasn't in the Special Forces. He wasn't in the Army. And so that whole story, is ridiculous. If something happened during his time in the Coast Guard Reserves, I can't verify that or, comment on that. But as far as the stuff with his wife in Cambodia and all that stuff, I just believe the whole story is a fraud.
With some of my colleagues that have left or came home with me from a deployment with PTSD, it would be strange to try to cope with PTSD with making sensational stories like this. Because, you think about it, if he did lose a wife or a child or anything like that, and now he's making the sensational stories, it's really disrespectful to any family members that he could have allegedly lost. So it would be unlikely that this is a reaction to something like that.
Do you think, I would have to agree with some of the people in the chat room this evening, some of which I know are actual victims and survivors of abuse, et cetera. We always have to think outside the box and wonder what it takes for somebody to lie. And obviously we all know that when you tell a lie, it's very hard to keep it going. Do you think that his lies are catching up to him, or do you really believe that there's something in his past that really makes him believe he is who he says he is?
I think he's been doing this for a while, and he's kind of he's lost himself in that. And so it's a mixture of him losing himself in these stories and basically a lot of this just catching up to him. As a lot of these vets are coming back and he's telling these same stories over and over again, and a lot of vets who are coming back from overseas are catching on to what's going on.
We have noticed that he tends not to be around. He was due to have interviews with certain individuals in the media at the conference. And when we got to the conference that day, he canceled all those interviews. We did notice also that he refused to sign a media release form, but he was okay with us filming his presentation. I don't think he thought it would be seen by as many people as it has been. But I find it ironic that for a man with all of his colors and all of his travels and the movie Taken and all of that, that when you Google him, there is not much on him. And there is not maybe press releases here and there, but there's really no photo of him except in photos that he was caught getting a photo of, if you know what I mean. Like the one of him and the so-called wife, Becky Curtis, that was taken by somebody at a reunion. That reunion, that lady posted her photos on her photo book. So it just so happens those two individuals were in that photo from 2003. Which I believe they may have been teachers at Becky Curtis's daughter's school in California. But then when you look for photos, there's really nothing out there for a 66-year-old guy. And I guess that was one red flag for me, too. I think we have a caller on the line. Hold on. 1 minute. Brian, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. We have a caller coming in.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our guest tonight?
Hello?
Hello?
Could you put Tom on, please?
Who's this?
Are you professional or not?
Who's this?
Give me a fucking answer!
I think it's one of those.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well. I hope he doesn't eat with that language. At any rate, so it's just very hard to understand what his purpose in life was to do to a lot of people. And I know a lot of people are asking in the chat room, has his daughter's friends spoken out, or have any family spoken? I believe somebody had mentioned to one of the reporters that there were family members that were scared of him, but willing to talk if need be. Why do you think they would be scared?
Well, as far as the family members are concerned, I believe that some of them have tried to contact the Professional Soldiers blog, but understandably, you know, they don't want to, they really don't want to get mixed up in this. And I think for reasons that you're kind of alluding to here, you know, they are probably scared of him. And just knowing that, you know, what he's kind of capable of, you know, with these kind of lies, he appears to have kind of a, you know, to be a sociopath. You know, and you don't know how far he's going to take something. You know, if he's willing to lie and he's willing to do all these things in front of people, for all these years, now that this stuff, his world is, you know, coming crashing down around him, he could be vengeful. You know, he could be, angry. His livelihood is probably, definitely in jeopardy now. And, and who knows what a person like that is capable of in these circumstances.
That's a good point. Anything, Jay, do you want to weigh in on that?
I mean, just reiterating what he's saying, I mean, we know Hiller through class and academic professional settings, but we don't know him at a personal level. So, he could be just a brazenly angry kind of person, which would kind of explain why he's doing this. I mean, he went through a PhD program from 70 to 73 that he didn't complete, and there are other holes in his life that things aren't going well. So, I mean, you could very well explain just why he's an angry person that could really just really scare his family.
So you say he went through a PhD program. Was that at the University of Oregon or elsewhere?
I don't have the source in front of me, but I believe it was at the University of Oregon.
So he actually went through a program but never completed it, but yet
he did not complete
bio, he claims that he does have a PhD.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe there's miscommunication or misfiling or something, that just maybe that the University of Oregon could not find something when they were looking for it, but it actually is there? Giving Hiller the benefit of the doubt here.
It would be hard for me to believe that they've misplaced something as far as a PhD certificate. So I can't believe something like that.
Okay. Brian, what about you?
I find it very hard to believe. I mean, it's one of those things where you can't, you know, say for sure, but, you know, just given everything, I mean, I highly, highly doubt it. And it just kind of, you know, it also just goes back to the fact that it's the same type of thing with his military background. You know, I mean, here there's a guy who, you know, he served in the Coast Guard Reserves, and, you know, I've seen, and this is what happens to a lot of these guys. You know, they weren't in the military, but, you know, it's like they have to make it bigger. They have to make it grander. You know, they go to the bar, they start telling people, oh, yeah, I was in Iraq, I was in Afghanistan. Then you find out that they were just some, you know, paper pusher, you know, back in the States, you know. But they were in the military, but they didn't do all these things that they claimed. And so maybe that's how he started off. You know, he was in the military, so he kind of had this connection, but then it grew into this bigger thing. Now he's a colonel. Now he's in Special Forces. Now he's being called up by the CIA and all this other stuff that he claims. And so I think it's just kind of a, you know, snowball effect. You know, he was at a PhD program, didn't complete it. Well, it's like, well, I was in it, so I'll just tell everybody I did it, you know? So, yeah, I don't believe that it could have been mishandled at all, but
I think we have a caller calling in. I'm going to try to – we have a lot on the lines, actually, so I'm going to try to pick folks that have something nice to say. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our guests?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, I have a question. I'm the one who asked about family members, and – I guess what I was trying to say is, are there any family members standing beside him telling the same story? Are there any friends of the daughter who disappeared, you know, speaking out and telling the same story, or is he kind of alone in telling this story?
From my understanding and talking to him 7 months ago when we were at the bar, he mentioned a lot how he did have a daughter that he hadn't spoken to in years. So it does sound a bit, maybe that's not the full story, but it does sound a bit that he is kind of on his own right now.
Okay, because that was, to me, if he had other people, you know, other individuals who were not backing him up, but, you know, telling the same story, then I would be more inclined to believe him because of that. But the fact that he's alone, it doesn't mean he's lying, but it's kind of significant that you would think everybody would want to tell that story and warn other people if their rear relative or their friend was dealt with that way. So anyway, that was my question. Thank you for taking it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you very much.
To kind of just go off that question real quickly, it would have been really easy for him to just present his DD-214 to show his act. I mean, if people are coming at you with this stuff, I mean, all you got to do in 2 seconds, throw your documents out there, say, this is who I am. You know, I don't know who these crazy people are that are saying this stuff about me. But his website shut down. He shut down. You can't get a hold of the guy. He's disappeared off the map. So he could have ended
yeah,
this all.
Yeah, that was a red flag for me right in the beginning. It's like, if you have nothing to hide, why shut down your website? And furthermore, if you're part of the armed services, one would know that even shutting down your website doesn't mean your material and your design and everything on the site is gone. And so we've been able, obviously, to obtain all of that. So for me, I think there were a lot of lies in his bio that he provided to many organizations. And that's, if you see, most of the bios are similar, because those are the bios he provided us with a photo. The photo is the same. The bio is the same. And it's his words. So for him to deny to the school when you all confronted him, to deny anything is kind of ludicrous, considering he wrote his own bio and posted it on his website and provided it to many nonprofits, including us.
Yeah.
So, but it sure does make one wonder why, you know, somebody does something like this. And it also, in the back of my mind, I want to know, has he ever had a daughter? Does he have a daughter? Is she alive?
He does. He has a living daughter.
According to him, when I spoke to him, he mentioned her a lot and how they hadn't spoken in years, and that he would really like to speak to her again. And, I mean, he mentioned her quite a number of times. So, I mean, based off that, yeah, I think he does have a daughter who's alive.
Okay, we have another caller calling in. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering if he is being prosecuted or has there been any charges brought against him at all?
I think at this
Ryan?
Time,
or Jay, either one.
I think at this time the investigation is still going, so no formal charges have been presented yet. But there's certainly a lot of grounds for charges, but I mean, to my understanding, no, nothing formal as of yet.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Now, do you, Jay and Brian, what do you hope will come from the fact that there's so many students at your college and now, obviously, your new friends over at ProfessionalSoldiers.com, as well as the students at the University of Oregon, what do you hope will all come of this at this point?
I mean, there's two things that I would like to see happen. One, I would like to see the school step up a little bit more and, you know, really give us an honest, you know, response, you know, to what's transpired there at NIST. I just in that regard, I feel like still that they're not acknowledging the gravity of the situation. They're trying to minimize, you know, what's taking place at their school, you know, and you can see it in the language of the response. So I would really love to see them step up, take a bigger role. And do it publicly, not through email on a Saturday, you know, afternoon. And then, as far as Bill Hiller is concerned, this is just the beginning. I mean, you have the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI. There's local law enforcement that are all supposed. There's agents that are working on his case, and I'd like to see him, you know, be put behind bars, you know. He needs to be held accountable for the damage that he's done to people, you know, at our university, other human rights groups and other groups across the country. And he needs to pay for that.
Do you think that if the allegations do prove to be true, do you think that knowing what you all know about his debt with the IRS, et cetera, that the nonprofits, especially, and those agencies and individuals that ever paid a dime for his services, including the two colleges, will ever see their money back?
That'd be a difficult thing to kind of answer. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and I think Brian could confirm this, is he does have a foundation where he has been receiving donations from people. So where that money
is, that an investment foundation?
I think Brian would better be positioned to answer that question.
Because I did find something yesterday, but I wasn't sure if he was connected to it. It said something of investments or something, and it showed that you could pay with a credit card online for a foundation associated with him.
Well, that could be the one that you're referring to. The one, I mean, the foundation is actually the Hiller and Hedinger Foundation. And there is
who's the second name?
I think it was a student at the University of Oregon. When I contacted the school, they told me that it was named after a student there, and then Bill Hiller. I guess they worked on the human trafficking together, and they set this fund up. But it is possible to use a credit card to donate to this fund. And that's something that's being looked into. I don't know if he's actually taking money from it or if it's just a name thing. I don't know about that, but it is something that's out there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the thing, though, with Hiller, being held accountable, there are a lot of people who are, suggesting that, he gave you this false story, the school's cut ties with him, so what more do you want? And it's like, there's a case of fraud here. He took money from the school. He took money from students under the guise that he was this expert. People took courses because of his background that he promoted, and so he's defrauded people out of this money. And from a legal technical point of view, I mean, if he's used that money to buy property or things like that, I mean, he could also be investigated for possible money laundering, crimes. So this isn't just a small thing, and this is another reason why I don't really like the way that Miss is trying to downplay it, because this is a huge thing. You have FBI, Department of Homeland Security, all these agencies looking into this case.
And do you know how long they've been looking into it?
Well, as far as I know, they've been looking at least for the past 2 weeks. So, they've... I called the FBI early in the investigation, probably about a month ago, but, they kind of were like, okay, but I guess as more people started to, report it, and especially, like I said, the guys, the professional soldiers, they know a lot of people that work in these agencies, and so, through their connections, they were able to generate more support for opening up this case,
We were definitely taken by them over there. And for those of you listening to the show, get to know them, professionalsoldiers.com, and get to know those wonderful men and women that have fought for us to have freedom over here. Do you think that because he's lied so much, do you think that the lying aspect of anything would be would be a cause to prosecute? I wish we had an attorney or a psychologist on tonight, but what do you think that once he's found guilty of something, what do you think they're going to be able to slap him with? And if anything, what do you think he'll be prosecuted with?
I think it does that. As far as prosecutions are concerned, that's not quite clear yet as far as exactly what specific crimes were committed as per, penal codes or civil codes and things like that. But I think it does set the grounds for like the University of Oregon, the Meyer Institute, and others to file lawsuits and basically sue him. and just start that kind of process of really setting the tone of what's going to be going on next.
Yeah, I would also like to make a comment about that too, if I can. And
go ahead.
I would just like to say that this is the problem that we're facing. I mean, we've had, you know, ever since Afghan and Iraq wars have kicked off, there have been a lot of these cases, you know, with people posing as vets, you know, special forces, whatever. And almost all of those cases have resulted in people walking away without really any punishment. Nothing really happens. So, and this is one of the reasons why the Stolen Valor Act is being pushed through, you know, the Senate. Because of cases like this, there's really no law. I mean, it makes it really tough. But when you realize the gravity of the situation, you know, how people are being impacted by this, and when people lie about their service, I mean, I think one of the reasons why he got away with this is because, you know, people don't question when you say, I'm a Green Beret, I was in Special Forces, you know, because that holds so much weight with the American public. And when people misuse that, you know, reputation that was built on, you know, great sacrifice and, you know, the blood of other people, and when you fraudulently use that title, you know, that is, you know, to me, that's, you know, for your own gain and your own personal interest, it's just, there has to be a punishment for it. There has to be some way of holding those people accountable, and you can't let people like Bill Hiller get away with it and just walk away. It's just, it's not right.
Well, I would think there is a federal law or something impersonating a federal, you know, a federal position, such as what he said, a colonel of the United States Armed Forces and certified with this and certified with that. I would think there would be restitution or at least prosecution under the fullest extent of the law for the colleges to go after him as well. I don't want our listeners thinking that, you know, he's done this, you know, he's done a few bad deeds. Maybe there's some truth to some of it. Maybe there's some exaggerations to some of it. But in the end, you know, it doesn't come down to about the money. It comes down to about how one man can defraud internationally, and be seen as an expert, you know, in the field of human trafficking. And I really use that term loosely, because too many people, especially when faced on media and such doing interviews, an expert is a pretty big category. And now learning about all this, it makes you wonder how many real experts we've ever had to listen to.
Well, I mean, this is part of the problem. Again, it's, you know, people, when you haven't been there and you haven't been, you know, quote unquote, you know, victimized by this man, you know, you don't really, I mean, I guess it's just hard for people to put themselves into your shoes and to know what it's like to have somebody just lie to your face and tell you all this stuff. And then going beyond that, I mean, think about it. I mean, if I had a daughter, and she sat through the class, and maybe she had some, you know, believe this man's story, you know, and she confided some personal stories, you know, to this guy or whatever, based on his belief. I mean, that's just, it's mind-boggling. It's disgusting. You know, it's just, it's really sick. And who knows if this is the kind of guy that gets off on hearing certain stories like that. And there's just, you know, he needs to be, you know, held accountable for this stuff. He needs to, you know, pay a price for what he's done. And whatever can be worked needs
to
be done.
I was speaking with a friend, client of mine, whose daughter was kidnapped a year and a half ago in Washington State. And she was telling me, when I was telling her I had just come back from CBS last night and telling her why, I did not know that this guy supposedly had a book or something. And the only photo, we have two photos of him the entire conference from last year, and one of which is with one of the rescuers or searchers, rather, of this lady's daughter. And they're just drinking coffee and such. But he was talking to this mother who is distraught. Her daughter's been kidnapped. They still have yet to find her. She was our guest in January. And he was telling her, you need to read my book. You got to buy my book. You know, it will help you get through the tough times and all of this. And it's like, there's another victim. You know, there's another person that you're re-victimizing because this poor lady's already distraught. You know, it's been over a year, and now all of a sudden you're telling her, you know, your book can help get her through those dark times. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I don't even know what book he has out.
I wasn't aware that he did have a book.
She was unable to find it on the internet, so that could just be, unless it was a book on his website that we were unaware of. To be honest, I hadn't been to his website in months.
Could
have been on his website.
So you can't go there anymore.
You can't go there anymore. BillHillerTraining.com has been taken down. Another red flag was when it was taken down, one would think, oh, he lost the domain. But the domain, in fact, is good until March of 2011. So there was no need for the site to come down. So, you know, again, as a publicist, I say if none of this is true, or some of it may be and some of it isn't, why take down your website and look like you're guilty? You know, why have people make excuses for where you're at? You know, he obviously wasn't hiding much last week when he was awarded the Hometown Hero Award. So it makes you really wonder how much it takes somebody to do something like this. And who covers for them? Because, you know, how do we know that the people that introduced him to your college, you know, had any bearing on anything? Because one would think that if I introduce my friend to an organization or I introduce my friend to bid on a project, that I know that person pretty well. But I guess we just don't know anybody, do we?
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, he had this reputation already built, and people just kind of passed him along, you know. Said, you know, here's a guy that does all this training. You know, he's trained with all these groups, and everybody raves about him. So, you know, maybe you guys would, he'd fit in with your program. And that's kind of, you know, from what I've heard, that's just kind of how it happened. He just, you know, kind of brought him over and signed him up and just let him go, you know, and he started teaching courses. And, you know, I mean, as you know from the university's response, you know, they didn't check his background. They didn't feel like they had to. So.
Exactly, and either did Soroptimus. We did not feel the need to check his references. We Googled him and found that he was full of awards and accolades and everything else. We saw no reason to have to do a background check. And honestly, since 1921 that Soroptimus has been around, I don't know of any cases that we found that the people that we honored or had speak at any conferences ultimately came out to be a fraud. So live and learn, I guess. I guess it's a new time in this 21st century.
Yeah,
we have about 6 minutes left. Anything else that you all want to talk about or that we've missed on this? Where do we go from here, Brian?
Like I said, I believe that the school needs to step up a little bit more in its response and to be a little more, you know, genuine and you know, cover the scope of what's really happened here. And then as far as Hiller's concerned, I hope that the FBI is able to track him down and bring him to justice because, you know, right now he's in hiding and he knows he's done something really bad and he's really screwed over a lot of people. And it's only a matter of time, I hope, until he's found and, you know, he's brought on trial. So I really hope that that's how this all ends.
Anything else, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, coming back from overseas and with my other fellow veterans, it was just getting his name out there and making sure he doesn't profit off of those who have given their lives. And so that was the biggest thing for us and a lot of the other veterans. I mean, as far as the school goes, I think it's true for everybody else. This is just an incredibly sensational story, and it's going to take time to come to terms with. And I mean, no one knows how to deal with something like this because this is not common, especially when you add.
Makes for a good movie, doesn't it?
It sure does. And I think this is all a learning process for everybody. So this is new. I mean, everyone's trying to deal with it the best they can. I think eventually we'll come down to the decisions, the right decisions will come to a fruition. But it's a good learning lesson to know that, you know, when it comes to military credentials, those are by far the easiest things in the world to verify. And so, I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
And anybody, and any, you know, military professional, I mean, it's no big deal to kind of show, you know, DD-214 or anything like that to anybody to verify that they have been in the service. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
You have some people in the chat room, Brian and Jay, saying definitely we appreciate the students very much. Keep speaking out, Brian. You're doing a good job. And I put a lot of people on camera, Brian. Your interview last night with CBS and Fox, wonderfully done. You're a great interview subject as well as your friend over there at professionalsoldiers.com.
You
need to keep speaking out. I think that both of you and also Jeff and the other students and the other retired folks over at Professional Soldiers, you're great examples of a hero. You know, you're making a difference, and you definitely bring the voice that that we need for the voiceless. And in this case, none of us would have ever assumed anything. I mean, your email last week, Brian, a shocker. This was never on my radar. I never, ever assumed anything was out of the ordinary for Bill Hiller. We enjoyed him and his presentation. He had everybody in tears. So, again, you know, I would have never have guessed this. But to end on a note, just so that our listeners understand, Bill Hiller, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but it's not looking good. So please listen to this podcast. Send it out. Spread the word, especially to any organizations or universities you know that have booked Bill Hiller, William G. Hiller, to speak to their classes and to their organizations. One of his bios read that he was the founder of Just Yell Fire. Nothing can be further from the truth. So I am telling you right now that Just Yell Fire was founded by a young lady that we love dearly, Dallas Jessup. She was a CNN hero. She's a hero of ours. And Bill Hiller never knew her until January 9th of 2010 at our conference. And nor has he ever had communication with that organization since. So when in doubt, come and ask us. And also to put one end to one of the blogs on professionalsoldiers.com, it states that CNN and Seroptimus should really run background checks on their speakers. And I guess we should. I can't speak for CNN, but I'll speak on behalf of Seroptimus and the Northwest Coalition Against Trafficking. We will definitely always consider that when in doubt at this time. So thank you, everyone. Our next show is Wednesday at 6 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio. Being the voice that brings justice is a great, great example of humanity, and that is shown in Brian, Jay, Jeff, and all of the other students at both of these colleges. We thank you for joining us this evening, and you too can be the voice for justice. Don't let the truth scare you from not bringing it to light. Boys, thank you so very much. You've done a great job.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody else out there that's been listening tonight.
Good night.
Okay, bye.